जी ये ये जो बंदा दिल्ली में कितनों से आता है दिल्ली में कितनों से आता है वेन्नबी सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम सेट इन एथिका यू आर अ डिफरेंट पर्सन रिसीवेट इस ताल्लुक कनेक्शन विद द सहाबा रिसीवेट इस द नॉर्मल relationship which he had with the Sahaba, he started to see with it. And he stopped Talim and Tabligh completely when he was in Itaqaf. The small tent is for you to imagine that you are now in your qabr. Mu'taqif has to make muraqabah there. That I am in my qabr now. It's an occasion which Allah Ta'ala has given us now to get closer to Him. In the ummah of bygone times, there is the practice of Rahbaniyat, right? Monasticism, become monks, they would make i'tikaf the entire life. There were many fake but many genuine rahibs, genuine monks. They were who sacrificed their entire life in the wilderness, in the cave, in the caves. Many of the awliya on their travels, they would sometimes meet a rahib. They meet a rahib, and he has never heard maybe of Islam, but he's still in the wilderness there. Once at the new Mr. Rahmatullah, in the middle of winter, on his journey, he was walking through the desert wilderness. Snow, it was snowing. Going on for Hajj, for the walking which he went. He saw a rahib under the scattering some seeds under the tree. The rahib is scattering some seeds under the tree. Everything is white. The whole world is white with snow and ice. So, Guru asked, all right, what are you doing with getting sheep to see in the snow here? What is it? He said, point on a tree, there's some birds here. There's nothing for them to eat here. So, there's nothing for them to eat here, so I'm taking each of the sheep. So, Zimun Mr. Ahmad said, get the amal of a sort of an alien. Of a stranger is not accepted by Allah Ta'ala. Same as in Kafir. So your good deed is not accepted by Allah Ta'ala. So the rahib says, well, just known to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala knows this, but I'm doing what I feel is right. So, and so he carried on. Well, one day while he's making tawaf, of Baitullah, this is the rahib making tawaf. The eyes of the net, and the rahib smiled and said, you see the value of my seed? You understand the value of my seed now? So there were many of these rahibs doing those things. They were sincere and true. And when the message reached them, then immediately they accepted Islam. So Rahbaniyat, the thing, this monasticism, it was a practice which Allah Ta'ala had ordained for them those times. But in Islam, that practice was abrogated, was cancelled out, and itikaf was substituted. Itikaf was substituted for this ummah. That in those few days, in such a Mubarak month, Ramadan, and in the most blessed days, the holiest of the days, the last 10 days, you have to seclude yourself well on the other side. Seclude yourself entirely. So when you sit now in your 10th day, you are now not just a bit muraqabah there, you have to be muhasabah there. It's a time of zikrullah, it's a time that you of a close communion with Allah. It's not a time for tabligh and ta'aleem and bayan and making merry in a massage, just making an hour in a shop. Allah Ta'ala, the Ultimate Salaam. وإن سورة النساء فإذا فرغت فانتظر فإذا فرغت فانتظر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أما وقت إذا أما وقت النبي is only down with tabir. That was when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped to work there in the dunya. There's nothing better than that. Yet Allah Ta'ala, all Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after he had done your work now for a day, how much of them was staying enough in the night time? And get engaged in Zikrullah and Salat in order to come closer. Because no matter, regardless of the significance of the leader and power and calling people to the Imam to the dream, that ikhtilat, the mingling and associating with people, it has a negative effect, on the ruh. It interferes now contact with Allah Ta'ala. So then Allah Ta'ala or even Mubin. Then after you have done your work for the whole day now, you must stand up in the night time in Ibadah, alone, stand in solitude and in seclusion. The seclusion, halwat, comfort, seclusion, it is essential for strengthening the ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala. For that reason you will see that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, before Nubuwwah, before he was officially declared the Nabi Allah Ta'ala, he would go into seclusion. Allah Ta'ala created even now a desire to see where his ta'alluq now is linked now. People will go in the cave of Hira, stay at the end of the week, alone. So in the seclusion now, the Banda is prepared now. He prepares, very prepared for greater contact with Allah Ta'ala. Now, this is the maqsad setting of Etifaf, to be there in close association with Allah Ta'ala, to strengthen now the spiritual, the ruhani faculty in the human being, strengthened now in seclusion. Insan is not only physical body. Insan is consists of a physical body and a ruh, a spiritual entity in it. And that is the main part of his existence, which is the ruh. Without the ruh is a dead lifeless body. Everything, the life in insan, it depends on this ruh. But the ruh is affected by the body. The body, as a result of this, the close association, the ruh is affected, and its powers are weakened. When Allah Ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, the lifeless statue, then Allah Ta'ala ordered the ruh to enter the body. When the ruh went inside and came out, and the ruh was panicked, Ya Allah, how is it possible for me to live in this entity? What is it? And the ruh tolerate the body. Allah Ta'ala ordered it, it has to do, make it home there, ultimately life. No matter how is this life, that body, it had to obey Allah Ta'ala's command and it settled inside the body of inside the statue of Adam alayhi salam. And then afterwards, because of that ikhtilat, of the close association, it became so attached now to the body that at the time of mort it doesn't want to leave. It doesn't want to leave at the time of mort. Association with relates with a good company or bad company. It has a lasting enduring effect on this person. Let's look at Adam alayhi salam. Maybe Adam alayhi salam, who has a better understanding of Jannah than maybe Adam alayhi salam, he lived there, he was born there, created there, and he spent long time is like this. After the Adma Islam was brought down to earth, then when the time came for his mort, Allah Ta'ala had decreed that he will, that his age will be 1,000 years. Adam alayhi salam. When Israel alayhi salam came to take his ruh, then Adam alayhi salam said, Israel, I have got another 40 years left, 960 years. You have come before the time. So Israel alayhi salam said, no, Allah Ta'ala sent me the time. You know, Allah Ta'ala has obtained the time of love. 1,000 years. Then Israel Islam said, oh Adam, have you forgotten that on that occasion, after your creation, when Allah Ta'ala had assembled all the arwah of humanity, of mankind, from your loin, from your back, Allah Ta'ala extracted them and put them in front of you, and all human beings that had to would appear to be and be created on earth, Allah Ta'ala assembled them in front of you. And then you saw one bright spark there, and you asked, who is there? Well, it says that Dawud alayhi salam. Then you asked Allah Ta'ala, well, how long will Dawud live on earth? So Allah Ta'ala says, well, 100 years. So Adam alayhi salam, yeah, 100 years is very short. Oh, for my life, I give 40 or 50 years, whatever you are, Ahadiyah. So, Ahadiyah was given. And then, the document was brought to you. And you acknowledge, you signed it, you by the gift. You signed it and gave it. So, Almighty has forgotten. So, that's the reason that Allah said, insan, because insan forgets anything. Any agreement, promise, pledge, transaction pertaining to the future must be taken down in writing. And must be resolved. So, and he showed it to Adam and Islam, and now he remembered, he recorded. So, right. So, my point in making this is this, what I can say is this. That despite the fact that Adam and Islam knew how wonderful Jannah is, what is the earth compared to Jannah, inflation, comfort, but despite that fact, he still at that you are so used, they became so used to the dunya now that he still wanted to live longer. Still wanted to live longer. But that is because when you associate, when you mingle with something or in some place, you get used to it and don't want to leave now that thing. That thing, company is very sensitive. The visual of some cosmic dwarf. Allah in Yahuzaka, min sa'ati su'i, or min sahibi su'i. Allah, I seek refuge. You, from an evil companion and an evil woman, comes from Allah Hadith, that an evil companion is worse than evil deed. And a good companion is better than good deeds. Because an evil companion, you associate with an evil companion, why is it worse than evil deeds? It's when you commit an evil deed, you regret. You understand, this is sinful, you regret. And you get the tawfiq of making tawbah. But with an evil companion, you become desensitized. The iman inhibition that there is in insan, the natural ability, the natural propensity in insan to repel evil, to stay away from evil, which is inherent in the iman of the mu'min, that gets desensitized and gets destroyed. So by constantly associating with evil, finally that evil no longer remains evil. It becomes acceptable. That reason Allah Ta'ala orada Cibril Aleyhisselam to go and destroy certain cities. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Allah ta'ala sent wahi to Nabi Yusha alayhisalam. So Yusha, in a certain city there, a city offering 100,000 people. There are 60,000 fusaq and fujar in the city. And there are 40,000 such sulaha, salihin, whose a'mal are like the a'mal of the awliya. In the city of 100,000 people, there are 60,000 fusaq and fujar. And there are 40,000 such sulaha, salihin, whose amal, whose a'mal are like the a'mal of the anbiya. Allah Ta'ala ordered Jibreel al-Islam destroy the entire city. So Jibreel al-Islam asked Ya Allah, destroying the 60,000 fusaq, that is understandable. But what is the fault of the such 40,000 awliya? Ya awliya, who the amal, so amal are like the amal of the anbiya. Why must they also be destroyed? So Allah Ta'ala said, when the fusaq has functioned, when they invite them, the sulaha go and sit and eat with them. They mingle with them to such an extent that the fisk and the fujood, the evil, the immorality which these people committed, it no longer exercised any. It didn't cause these people, these salat, to even say words or to frown, bring them from those. Desensitized it became. It became everything. Like us, we see all the evil around us. We see all the evil around us. It is now a norm. It's become natural. We don't think it's evil. Emotionally, it's understandable why we don't feel it because everything you see this thing around us. But Allah Ta'ala has given us an aql, intelligence, that even if we're emotionally, we are not hurt emotionally, but intellectually, aqlan, we must be hurt. Otherwise, there is some defect in iman. If even this committed, Allah Ta'ala's aqlam are being transgressed, and the mu'min doesn't even aqlan intellectually, he doesn't feel the pain, then there is something wrong with him, with his iman. So Allah Ta'ala all the people, some of these people, they mingle and they're associated with the fuksak and fujar, and they are all on one level, destroy the entire city. So I mean, such a waqia, where Amr bin Ma'ruf, Nayyan bin Munkar, it's a wajib duty that no Muslim is allowed to abstain from this duty. There are different categories and different levels of Amr bin Abi al-Ma'ruf. One, a sheikh in the time of Bani Israel, used to give bayan, regular talks he would give, and in those days, men and women gather together in the same place. The sticky job which Allah Ta'ala has imposed on this ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not exist in that time. And this sheikh would sit on a high platform and give his time. Once he noticed, he saw his son casting evil gazes on a woman in the gathering. So Allah Ta'ala, so then Sheikh whispered inside nicely, "Oh my son, take away your eyes. You must know what you are doing. It's haram." Doing silently. Allah Ta'ala sent wahi to the Nabi all the time. Go and no. So what happened? As he said that, the platform on which he was sitting collapsed. And he fell down. He fell down. And he was hurt. سؤال الله تعالى الثاني وحي للنبي تالي تال فما يسي بغض في الله هيتر أنت فما يسي جوستي was this sufficient to whisper for your son's eye, you know, my son abstained from this. Was this sufficient? Have you got so much, only that amount of relationship have you got with me that you could only stand in that for such a serious crime? So, no one said that. So, in his progeny, no Salih would be born again. Yeah, after English, you know, for this, but it's a punishment for him. So, let's say that Amr is part of Maya Hussar. If we say, wajib, duty, obligation upon all Muslims, and especially upon the ulama, and on the others, not only the ulama, on the non-ulama also, those are not ulama, but within the confines of their knowledge, what they know, and when they are, a person is, he knows this, yeah, this is wrong, puts it haram, and it is being committed in his presence, and he's able to do this. He's got the ability and to make Amr bin Ma'ruf Nahi al-Munkar. But the only reason why he's abstaining is now the smiles are going to stop now. The friendship will be nothing. He knows this person cannot harm him, do anything to me. But maybe there will be some monetary loss, some dealings. There will be an interruption in our dealings. Or in our friendship, etc., for that reason now, he abstains now. So, death is not a valid reason to abstain from Amr bin Ma'ruf Nahi al-Munkar. Yes, if you are such a person, that if that person to whom you are, make Amr bin Ma'ruf, is able to harm you now, is going to harm you either physically or in some other way, then it is permissible now, okay? Because of our weaknesses, it's permissible now to maintain silence there, but to detest now that action of that person. But where there is no such thing, where there is no such fear, then it's not permissible to maintain silence. This is what said, As-sakitu an-haqq shaytan al-akhras. The one who maintains silence with regard to matters of the haqq, he say, dumb shaitan, shaitan akhras, that's dumb shaitan. As long as Amr bin Ma'ruf, as long as in the community, there are ulama who are carrying out this duty of Amr bin Ma'ruf, Nahi al-Munkar, inshallah, the universal azab, the arm azab will not settle in the community. But the day that there are no ulama left in the community to speak, to trample on the toes of the people and to annoy them in the air with his Amr bin Ma'ruf, then what Allah Ta'ala done, Allah Ta'ala has revealed to Nabi Yusha alayhi salam, that will happen. Now to the entire community. So there won't be now any barrier to that azab, that universal azab, the arm azab, which always overhangs a sinful, a rebellious a community. That sins rebelliousness, there's always azab from overhanging them. But Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is such, Allah Ta'ala has created now. Some ulama whose duty is now that must continue vehement in the Amr bin Ma'ruf Nahi al-Munkar. And they are addressing other people. They don't understand. You give someone nasihat, you have the knowledge. But if the nasihat pertains to the dunya, then he will thank you. A person is about to lose a substantial amount of money somewhere. You give nasihat, you care if you're going to invest there, you will lose all the money. You go that side, that road is there, the hijacker is sitting there. They will thank you. They'll appreciate it. But when you give a person such nasihat, such advice which will save you in the akhir, which will save you from Jahannam, which will save you at the time of mort, now it becomes your enemy. Why is that? It's because you don't understand the value of the value of akhirat. is not understood, it's not in our heart. For that reason, we become annoyed when someone offers us a CS now pertaining to the deen. But as far as the dunya is concerned, the more nasihat you give, the more you can benefit in dunya, the more he will thank you, he become your friend. So that's what there is now. Something is drastically wrong with our iman. Coming back to the issue of the etikaf. The etikaf, now I say, it is a time of seclusion where the Sanda must try his best to establish, to strengthen his contact now with Allah Ta'ala. It's not an occasion of very many feasting there, doing bayans there, doing nazams there. Then what is the entire purpose is defeated. People spend thousands, hundreds of thousands of rand in 10 days. People coming from this country, that country, tents being put up. And there is like a wedding party, circus going on there. And that is now called etikaf. What the entire, that means the spirit, not only the spirit, the actual, the body, even the external dimension of the etikaf is also destroyed in the first place here. You see, there's no nafil etikaf in the tent. The masjid can't accommodate the 600 people. So they put up a big tent. How much money is wasted for that now? And women folk also come in. Maybe for our children, when we went to the calf, the thing, the first year it started, then he had allowed the Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha also to put up a tent thing. In that time, the woman comes to the masjid. When the next day when he came out of the tent, he saw another tent there. Asked, whose tent is this? And then I said, his wife, Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. He said, I became annoyed. The order was taken down. And he was so annoyed that he appended the etikaf. And he made qaza of it in Shawwal. And the brother made qaza of that etikaf in Shawwal. Now, Malik al-Hamdala said, he said, well, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, only one person that was in the etikaf. He called him Malik al-Hamdala. So etikaf is not a function, it's not something where you have to come together, have a big function. No, and even the trustees of the masjid have to control the number also. Once you taklif to the musallis also, and then they say, look at this, in this time, in this age, this time, hundreds of thousands of rand are being wasted on food, luxury food, delicious food, feasting, in Ramadan, and look at the suffering of the Ummah. People haven't got food. If you just read about the Rohingya Muslims, what happened to them, that in boats there. And not only there, so many other places also. If you read the things that you learn, the person is aware of this. And then also, you indulge in this type of function, this type of extravagance and waste your time. Those who wait are the brothers of Shaitan. Then the Sheikh sits there now in the etikaf. He sits down there and he makes a tawajjuh. People write in America, he says he makes a tawajjuh. People come sit in front of him and make a tawajjuh. Now in the first thing about tawajjuh. No one should become impressed with tawajjuh. Even the tawajjuh of a genuine Sheikh, it is short-lived, it's temporary. It's got absolutely nothing to do with the tawajjuh. It's got nothing to do with the tawajjuh. Yogis and sadhus are experts in this field. And you get fusaq or kufa. They also, the Christian faith healers, they are experts in tawajjuh. They heal people also with their tawajjuh. It is nothing to be impressed. As Junayd Baghdadi said, that if you see a person, sitting cross-legged in the air, don't be influenced and don't be awed. The criterion, it is the Sharia. how this person follows the Shariat, if he obeyed to the Shariat, and has is he adopting the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is the only criterion. Otherwise, nothing matters. If you see a person claims to be a buzuk, a sheikh, he transforms stones into gold, walks on the water, and he flies in the air, but his daily life is inconsistent with the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then you will know there's some shaitan influence here. Some shaitan, they say, no matter who the person is, never be all for names and who a demonstration. No, the criteria is the Sunnah. See if the person follows in the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is the biggest element, the biggest karamat, is to follow the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nothing besides it. So this is what they do now. It is like how the Sheikh now make the wajidah on the people. And they bring out women folk also for itikaf. And from where? From a different country they come. They come traveling now with the plane. They sell from the time they can't leave their homes until the time they go back. Look at them. What they have to go through at the airport, in the plane, at the airport, in the hotel. Where is that hijab? Where is the iman, the hairat of the Ghazi? One Maliki Fakir, who was a big wali of them, quoting his kitab, and this is just in a fiqh kitab, it's not happening in the Tawuf kitab, it's in a fiqh kitab. He said that once there was a conference between the Shayateen of the East and the Shayateen of the West. There was a conference. They also get the Eastern Bloc, Western Bloc, or Muslim, or Shayateen of them. They had this conference, right? And at this conference, they discussed who the Shayateen of the East said that we are the best. The amal that we perform excel what you people are doing. They said, no, we are the best. So the Shayateen of the West asked the Shayateen of India, okay, explain some of your deeds. So they explain some of their deeds, what they do, they cause all the problems, that problem, wars they cause murders and death. They gave a whole long story. So the Shayateen of the West says, we'll just explain to you one of our best amount. So when the time comes for Hajj, then what we do when time comes for Hajj? Now I think in those days they had a sort of a system. Then we sent out the agents. And these agents go around now. And they give bayans on the fazail of Umrah and Hajj. And then the people, all they flock to now, going for Umrah, they come out for Umrah. They come out for Hajj, for Nafal Umrah, Nafal Hajj, they come out. In droves they come out. And then, from the time they leave their homes, this is the Shayateen of the West said, from the time they leave their homes, until the time they return back, we involve them in sin all along the journey, in sin. So when the Shayateen of the East heard this, they stood up in the West and said, they said, we accept it, we have accepted that, we have surpassed us. So, as they tell, the sins that we are committed on the journey, sins are committed, everyone is oblivious of this. Now, say, we go for Umrah, Nafilum, we go for Umrah, or Nafilat. One person came to us, Bishar Hafir Hamdulalay. He said, I've accumulated 2,000 dinar. I'm to go for Hajj. What do you say? This was Nafil Hajj. What do you say about it? So the Bishop Hafir asked him, tell me, why do you want to go? Are you going to get Sawab? Or are you going for a tour, for a holiday? He said, I'm going for Sawab. So he said, if you say you are going for Sawab, then I will come for advice. So I will tell you, I must give you the best advice, Mrs. Balkan said. Mr. Shah, more the money. One who gives advice must be a person of trust. I'm honest, so you must give him the best advice. So he said, you take this 2,000 dinars, no, 200 dinars here, 200 dinars, either give it to 10 poor people, fukara. Give each one 20 dinars. Or give it to 10 widows. Or give it to 10 orphans. Or give it to 10 people who can't make ends meet. And then I promise you that you will get the sawab of 200 hajj. 200 hajj. Then you can go on all the subsidies, you'll get one sawab of 100. But if you may accept this advice of mine, then you will get the sawab of 200 hajj. So then he says, Hazrat, but my heart is set on. Then Hazrat says, that your heart will not be set aside until you don't go and squander this 200,000 men, because it's now clear that there is doubt in your breast. So as long as you don't go spend it in the wrong path, you are not going to be set aside. So you need to understand that you say sawab, you want sawab. If you want sawab, you get it easy and you get so much for 200 times the amount of sawab. So the Hajj, look at that, the son, look at that, face of his father, and of his mother. One Hajj before the thing. He looks with affection at the face of his parents, you get the sawab of one maqbool Hajj. The Sahabi asked, Ya Rasulullah, if I look many times again at the faces of my parents, so he said, as many times as you look, so many hajj you get. You perform the ishraq salat, you get the sawab of hajj and umrah. Yet you go now on these journeys now, look what takes place. I mean, sometimes travel, the women folk travel, in the plane also, at the airport. What they have to go through in the plane, day in the hotels, in the foyers, in the lifts, they see men, women, and now worse, in the harem itself. In the harem itself, right in the mataf area of them. So I say, it's just one long stream of sin coming, being committed. So now I say, this is the type of a mockery which is made of such a wonderful body as Ithaca, time of solitude, time of seclusion, time of muraqaba, time of muhasaba, squandered in merrymaking in function. It is essential that in the ulama I have to speak against these things. It does not matter who it is, who the person is, who the sheikh is, how prominent he may be, he has to be, as Imam Abu Hanifa Ramtala said, that he must be named. And you must be exposed, otherwise you must leave the ummah. That's little that you must say. And instead of taking the people to Jannah, the Shaykh has to take people to Jannah. He takes them now on this path, on the wrong path, making now virtue and then Muslim people, as the tawajju is something like that. Tawajju, and even if a person, he displays a miracle, don't be awed by that display. If his life is not 100% in conformity with the Sharia, this does not mean that he can be masu. 100% he has to lead a life to the best of his ability, 100% in conformity with the Sunnah. Look, occasional sin that everyone commits, besides the Anbiya. Everyone commits sin, but one does not just justify sin. When a person commits a sin, the closer that person is to Allah Ta'ala, the more remorse and regret will overtake the person. And remember that a person, a genuine buzruk, a genuine wali, sometimes what happens, Allah Ta'ala creates such circumstances to induce him to commit that sin for some reason. Treatment for him. Maybe that Buddha Bosom developed some takaful usuk, which he himself is unable to detect. There's another sheikh to understand that. And there's no other sheikh to make the ta'lim to Allah Ta'ala involved him now in some sense. And then thereafter, his regret, his tawbah, is of such a high degree that his rank become elevated to a higher level than what it was before. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi, only traveled, came in the wilderness, on one mountain. He came to one Buzruk was was on a mountain and came to Azam and gave me nasiyat. So they said, I could not nasiyat, can you go there, climb the other mountain there, you'll find a very good Buzruk there, very good wali of Allah, you go there and get nasiyat from him. So Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah went and climbed that mountain. He came on top and saw in the distance there was a hut. There was a hut. And as he came closer, he saw a human leg decomposing, laying there. So he was very surprised. So, and when he came to the hut, he made salam. Then he got up and came towards the and saw that Buzruk has only one leg, and the stick was walking. So then he understood that the leg is also a Buzruk, but it was now a mystery. What had happened here now, and why is his leg laying there? So after taking a lot of nasihat from that Buzruk, before he departed, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah, he asked that Buzruk, what is the explanation for this leg? It's obvious that he told him, what's the explanation for this? So that Hazrat said, I'm sitting in this, making itikaf here. Right? Itikaf here for the last 40 years. Right? Alone in the Kula. Recently, while I was sitting in my house, and gave the Kula, a woman passed by here. When a woman passed by here, I just got up. I just went to the window to just look. And immediately, the hafiz voice saying, oh, munafiq, is this the maqsad of your i'tikaf? You have renounced the dunya, made tark the dunya, you renounced the dunya and came here for this reason. You come here to look at women. So much to him. He was affected. And he was overwhelmed with grief. He said, I took the extra cut off my neck, punish myself. We're not discussing the masala. There's somebody else, he was in a house. He cut his leg and leave it to remind me of my evil. Whenever I go out, I have mind of my own evil, I think. So that is a sin of a buzur. So it doesn't mean because he's following the sunnah under, because he's not going to sin. Insan is got a nafs. I mean, the nafs of insan is inherent even. What did Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam? Huma ubari un nafsi. In the nafs al amar bi Yusuf. I don't say that my nafs is holy and my nafs is pure. Why? The nafs is a great commander of evil. Right? Even there also, Allah Ta'ala's protection was with Yusuf alayhi salam because Nabi Allah Ta'ala protected him. So the nafs, it is inherently evil. No Buzruk can claim that his nafs is pure and the nafs is completely safe from the nafs. That is a danger, it's a danger for a Buzruk. When he becomes overconfident in his on himself, on his willpower, on his ability to subdue the nafs, that's the time that the nafs will take advantage of it. Masai says that the nafs, a trained nafs, a nafs which has been trained by prolonged mujahada, is like a trained horse. But if the rider on the horse is neglectful and not alert, the horse will also throw, trained horse, and then throw him also off. So you have to be always alert. No, person has to be always alert, never giving the nerve the slightest opportunity. Not at all. Our iman, it is safeguarded in a number of forts. Number of forts. Shaitan does never make an attack on your iman initially, because there are several forts guarding it. One who centers your iman. Then you have the force of faraid. Then come the wajibat. Then the sunnah mu'akkada. Then sunnah ghair mu'akkada or nafil. And then come the mustahabbat. And then the adab. All these forces are protecting your imam. Shaitan met one buzzer, one great buzzer among the Tibetabin, I just forgot his name. And Shaitan comes, he comes and he's the Uliya, he's the Ambiya also. He said, I'm not stupid. I'm not stupid. I don't put the wasasa of kufr in a Muslim. In a moment, I don't get it. What I do is I'm making an edict of halal. An edict of halal is reckless just because it's halal. Just because it's halal, you're reckless. So what happens now? If you don't exercise restraint, obviously you just leave alone the spiritual side, look at the physical side. You recklessly just eat any food, just halal food. You see your health will break down. You get diabetes, you get heart problems, all kinds of sickness will develop. To a greater extent, does it break down your spiritual, your ruhaniya, it gets completely destroyed by becoming an addict of halal. And then you will be unable now to control yourself with regard to mushtaba. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that when you indulge in mushtaba, you can be now sure that you can indulge now in haram. So we have to guard the adab of the ibadah, we have to guard the mustahabbat. You know, these terms, mustahab, sunnah mu'akkada, sunnah ghair mu'akkada, wajib, etc. The sahaba wasn't aware of this classification of the ahkam. As far as the sahaba were concerned, practically everything was far as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did something, ordered something, they followed everything, and they would not let up on it. The fuqaha, Allah Ta'ala, created them for a specific purpose. They understood, for very foresighted people. They have to learn their fuqaha was wonderful. It boggles your mind. A person who understands this fuqaha is a proper ilm, and you need a word to understand what these people were super human. The faqat Allah Ta'ala said, the Sunday of Salah said, Faqihun Wahidun, Ashadu ala Shaitan, Min Alfi Abid. That one faqih, he turned and hard on Shaitan, then 1,000 Abid. 1,000, and what's an Abid? Abid is not a giant person who makes Ibadah. An Abid is a person, he devotes most of his time to Ibadah, but he has sufficient in for his ibadah and for his necessity, for his daily needs. Not that person with a child. But Shaitan is able to overpower and overwhelm 1,000 of them easier than what he can, than a faqih. So these fuqaha, they were such people, they were very far-sighted. So they understood that in making the ummah, was very weak, and they made the deduction from the hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, told the Sahaba that you are living in such an age that if you neglect one tenth of the deen, you go to Jahannam. And there will come a time when they will be making amal on one tenth and neglecting nine tenths, but they will be Jannatis. Now, this again must not be misunderstood. It applies to amal. Not to aqaid. The aqaid that has to be 100% as the aqaid of the Sahaba, not the principle. Yes, in the degree, in the strength, and the weakness of the aqaid, there are now different categories. For example, let's say, for example, it's a Tawheed. Sahaba believe in Tawheed, and we also in Tawheed. Sahaba believe in Allah Ta'ala's Razaq. We also believe Allah Ta'ala's Razaq. But there's a big difference in the quality of the belief. Allah Ta'ala's creation, Sahaba believe that, we believe that. Anyone who don't believe that, doesn't believe it, is not a Muslim. So as far as the Aqidah is concerned, we believe in all the Aqidah of the Sahaba. But there's a difference in the quality. We say Allah Ta'ala is Hazir, is Nazir. Allah Ta'ala is here, is present, is seeing us. No Muslim has got any difference of opinion in this belief. The 24 hours, every second Allah Ta'ala is aware of our actions. Then we believe that there are two malaika with us. Quran and Qatib, always writing. They are always with us. No, we're sitting here also now, we believe all these people are Hazir here. No person in this group here is going to commit a sin now publicly. No one will do it. No matter how much he desires to commit a sin, he's not going to commit it here publicly. Why? He understands that these people are looking. He will be just very humiliated. I can't do it in the presence. Yet he'll go alone and he'll commit a sin. But when he's alone, he believes Allah Ta'ala is here. Allah Ta'ala is seeing me. The malaika here recording. So how is that possible now? Why? When he believes that Allah Ta'ala is here, he's seeing me, he's still committed. I still commit the sin. But when the others are here, I won't commit it. But when Allah Ta'ala is here, I commit the sin. That now shows how big our iman is. Someone asked Imam Abu Hanifa, right? Those were close to him. He never on one day ever saw him without the topi, even when he's alone in his room. Do you think I feel ashamed for the malaika warrior? So there is this heart, the perception of the presence of Allah Ta'ala, the perception of the malaika, it was very strong again. It was real, not like us. It's a remote belief in us. We believe in Qiyamah, no one believes it. But that belief in Qiyamah, that belief in what is not sufficient to deter us from disobedience, from sin. Our eyes only open at the time of mort now. Then that paralysis, the time of mort, it wears off now there. That, and you become now alive now at the time of mort now. But before that, we are dead. So I say that our qaid, our beliefs are exactly the same as the Sahaba. But Nabi Sa'asim said that one thing, he said, you make amal on one thing, they go to Jannah. In other words, as far as the practical deeds are concerned. As far as the practical deeds are concerned, we are exceptionally weak in this amal. If Hajjana, you look at even at the amal of the ulama also, we belong to the ulama of the ulama also. How many of us, take for example, will be 24 hours of the good with you? Abstaining from mustahabat, observing in the tahabbat, etc., etc. So, in the time of the Sahaba, these ahkam were not categorized in this manner. It has been done for our benefit. That we should understand that if we don't do it this way, now, I mean, there's a lot. This is the limit now. You can go to this extent and you will at least be in a safe area. You won't be committing a sin. So it was for our benefit, but the objective of categorizing the Ahkam was not to neglect the Ahkam. Or because the Mustahab was neglecting. Now that is a big problem in the Madari. They teach the Usatida, they teach also in this manner as if Mustahab is something insignificant. If not Mustahab, people, children, they don't understand that. And what really is the meaning of Mustahab? If it's Mustahab, no, if you do it, oh, that's sawab. If you don't do it, it's no sin. They will understand on the day of Qiyamah, they understand the thing. What is the meaning of Mustahab and the value of that act of wrong? Mustahab, you'll understand it there. If you don't understand it here, you'll understand it there, but it will be too late. The value of two rakats in namaz, nothing namaz here. There, you can perform a million rakats there in akhir in Jannah. It won't equal the value of the two rakats you perform here in the dunya. Allah Ta'ala has given us this opportunity of the dunya. He has given us this of wonderful opportunity. No matter how rotten the dunya is, a dunya jifa in the Bishrah, this world is carrion. But it's a golden opportunity. So Allah Ta'ala has given us this opportunity here. Make the best use of the opportunity. The time of this dunya is very valuable. The time. You are allowed to take from this jifa, from this carrion, only that amount of carrion to save your life. And this person is starving, dying, there's no other food, only haram food, only pork there, then it's wadi for him to eat a little bit of pork just to save him. He can't fill himself with the pork, but then eat a little bit to save him, to save his life. So you are allowed to take from the carrion only what is absolutely necessary. So that's the same thing from the jifa of the dunya. You have to dictate what is necessary for our journey, where? On the back, home. We see from home, our home is Jannah. Our father was created there. That is our home, we are only on a temporary journey, so we are heading back home. So if we are going to get lost here, because we get diseased here with all the carrion here, and we are going to lose ourselves, then we won't have any capital, any provision to take us back home. Now even more time now, it is too late. Even more time, it is too late. So it is necessary that we find the truth. We have to create an awareness. We have to create the truth and things which you can't want into, can't wish into. It's a struggle. Mujahada. We, as the Vishrasan, has given us a prescription. We have that and left remedies for us, in which we have to doctor ourselves and treat ourselves. Hasibu kabla to hasibu. You must take a reckoning of yourself before a reckoning is going to be demanded. Then what? Aksibu zika hasibu al-jati al-mod. You must increase the remembrance of that being, of that entity, before shiva yodhilaita is more. Then muraqabah, mawt and mu'asabah, these are now exercises and amal with the resource of itself as ordered and five exercises. And this is what is being practiced now. The khanka is the place of islah of the nafs. Khanka is a place of prescribed terms of azkar. That's another, no bayan, what's the meaning of dhikr today? Those who are supposed to be the sheikh of the soul today, they don't understand even the meaning of dhikr. What is the meaning of dhikr? They have now confined and, dhikr. What you call halka means halka dhikr, that is dhikr. There's no, halka dhikr has no basis in the sunnah. It's no basis in the khair al-qurun. It is really a remedy. It's a remedy for a short while. And it has to be practiced in silence, in seclusion, out of the eye of the public. It's not an act of ibadat. It's not, ibadat is only what is Muslim. Ibadat is only what exists as ibadat during the khair al-qurun. Besides that, nothing is ibadat. Anything which has been introduced and given the form of ibadat after khair al-qurun, that was the cut-off date, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself cut-off date, this is the last final date of khair al-qurun. Yes, it is. It has no relation to the ibadah. So I say there, those who are the sheikh nowadays, they don't even understand the meaning of dhikrullah. What is the meaning of dhikrullah? And what is the maqsad of the tasawwuf? And the way of gaining the objectives of the tasawwuf? That also is not known to Ramashai. Everyone is lost. Dallu wa dallu, as he says, they will be astray.
Very small, Therefore, it caused a lot of problems there among the Asatis there. And the Rebbe was speaking about. So I'm aware of the situation there because the ulama among themselves there, they got put out about this. And some Asatis, they said no, because they're very different.
Oh, of course. And the error of it is so direct,
yes.
So clear. You don't need that akal and ill to understand the things wrong that's taking place here. Movement is getting destroyed more and more. And by those who are supposed now to be the guides, then Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala said, among the signs of the Aman, but ultimately the dunya, the Aman al-Akhirah, that they will search for the dunya with the Amal of the Akhirah. Itikaf is the Amal of the Akhirah. You search for the dunya, then fame, pomp, pleasure, merry making, getting hadith, getting a lot of hadiyat. That is not the way that a person, a wise and a being, can conduct himself in this moment. And this is mass etiquette that is now. He's found it. A recent thing that just started now. Every time now we find something else. I mean, at one stage, our ulama were all condemning the Bareli for the halka zikr. Now all people were involved in it. Everyone was condemning them for their Bareli. Now all people are the same. So,
some Masajid
are
very strong in which are near the big masjid, they're all a mess. Now that masjid, the etikaf no more takes place. I've seen this in my eyes. So I was the one to ask, why are you going to sit in your own masjid? You know, the food is very nice.
Every day that the amount of money is being wasted, yet the people are suffering all over. People are suffering, becoming murtad. Why? Because of the poor poverty and ignorance together. They grow up from childhood without any deen. There are so many, many, many hundreds and thousands of villages where the child grows up from childhood to adulthood. And as long as the child lives, they didn't hear their son. No mercy, nothing. We know it's supposed to be a sin, it's supposed to be a sin, it's supposed to be a sin. Yes, look at how much it is. It's wasted. In these places, you can operate a madrasa, a maktab, a hot maktab for 1,000 rand a month. You save the iman of 1,500 children with 1,000 rand. To pay the ustad a whole year, 12,000 a week for the whole year. And you know, imagine now, in that maksab, 100 children, some maksab 200, some maksab 300 children, so many children in this maksab. And they get their basic mentality. All these places you go to, what you'll find, and there's no place in the world, no matter how remote it is, you come there, you find the Christian is in the place. You find that they are there, they are working there. We are the people, we are supposed to be there, and this work amongst our people. Right? Now those people are dying, completely dying, and they poor, poverty. Now they put up a community center, they clean now, they are in it. And they food to them, you know, food to them. They got a lot of funds available. Government institutions, United Nations Board, the UNESCO Board, they're all over, they are taking for them. So, and then on top, you have the so-called Muslim government opposing those who are Muslims who are working now, they have to work now also silently. So I say that our people don't understand these issues, no matter how much they place them, they waste money, setting, waste money left, right, and center on haram. But the check of the Ummah is thinking, all over. Now, over there, the Ruizia, on the Bhutto. There's only a few. the hundreds of thousands of things scattered all over. Well, it's difficult to see here. But they take the initiative now after the West. First, what happened? We were both Malaysia, Indonesia. They were driving them over. The Navy told the boats to push them back into the ocean. How many? Hundreds of them were drowned. They don't allow them to them. Now, when the West has taken the initiative now, and they are sent out now, their Navy is now on rescue operation to save these people. Now, Malaysia and Indonesia, they are also coming on board now. But you'll find everything, they take the initiative first. That is because the Allah Ta'ala has made them rulers now, ordained to be the rulers of the city. The Western man is still, no matter what, we shall be contended. But Allah Ta'ala has for this time still chosen them, and they are ruling the world, and they are ruling us. We are not fit to rule. We haven't got that ability. Muslims haven't got that ability. Allah Ta'ala has given so much wealth in Muslim men. There's no shortage of wealth. Everything has it. But it's just that is wasted. And they are manipulating our wealth. Now the Allah Ta'ala has given them that ability. So I say that they take the initiative, and then the Muslims follow also.
This is one last question, then other brothers and ulama, I'm sure, have questions, but Brother Baladar, he was in long life, and he all may go off as it was. But you also have to see the reality now. The Sahaba came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, that after you, then who do we go? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that you will say, no, but I say, no, so this is what on the earth, this is doing all this, with no ordinary person can do.
Well, I'm weak, actually.
But after Hazrat, I myself, who Hazrat suggests we should go to? Really speaking, it's a big question.
I know very well, he himself said, that is all five of the Ummati. That is all five of the Ummati. Yuqatilun ala al-haqqi. La yadurruhum. من خالفهم أو قتلهم حتى يأتي أمر الله. There will always remain a group, small group, a tiny group. كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله. How many small groups there were who vanquished, conquered great armies. So Allah Ta'ala says, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there always remain a small group who will be firm and fight on the haq, and those who oppose them, and those who don't assist them won't be able to harm them. That's the Amrullah, until the Akumahan of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala is the thing, wherever there's a vacuum, Allah Ta'ala creates someone, he puts somebody there. Every vacuum Allah Ta'ala will create. Because Allah Ta'ala said, Inna nahm nazalna fitra wa inna lawul hafizim, you will protect us, Inna Allah Ta'ala. Allah.
I suggested rather than sitting there by himself doing nothing, I suggest you rather go there where there is a program.
But
It's wrong.
Because it can't make that kind of problem.
On the other hand, the importance of the student, the importance of prayer is not given.
Yeah, they should give them such a kitab to be in authority. Inshallah, we learn from there. Now,
there are many such people who are sort of lacking on the basics.
Let them sit in the
car. Let them sit in
the car.
What are they sitting for?
Yeah, but they get books, they learn from the books. They can sit in there, and they can read there. And the barakat of the seclusion, people in the are more than also. But if they get caught up in a functioning, in a very making kind of aircraft, it's not going to have anything. Yeah, it's not going to have anything. When I started as an uncle in this class, he said, Manku Mastaka, the Shinna in the Fasadi, Ummati Salaam, Al-Tumiyati, Shaheed. Those, whoever clings to my sunnah at the time of the corruption of my Ummah, will get the Sawab of 100 Shuhada, 100 Shaheed people to have them. Now, this sunnah is the thing of listening to the Azan and responding to it. It is directly a die down amongst the scholars, among the ulama also. Even speaking also, continuing in time, teaching at the time. I'm aware that there's an opinion, you know, if you teach that thing, you can continue that. But it's a long bayan on that also. It's not just as they see it, there's an explanation for that. But the issue is that the instruction of the disciples is the teaching of it. That when the Azan are being called, then you must be silent. One. Second, you must listen. And third, you must respond. And in the end, you recite the Sharif and make a dua. In the echo of Ibadah on yourself. Right? You're making your tilawat, or you're teaching there, or you're doing something. You can, you're not going to lose anything if you stop that. If you terminate it. But here you lose the entire Ibadah. There's no qadha for this Ibadah. No one left it. There's no one left it. The issue of that thing of they can continue in the time, it refers to, you know, the Fuqaha in those times, the Shaykh in those times, they didn't teach some kitab. They never taught some kitab. You lose nothing. Whatever they teach, the Ustaz now, they make mutala from the kitab and you teach that. Those people didn't have kitab. Whatever we see, all these huge thousands and thousands of volumes of kitab, it was all ilhami. It came there from Allah Ta'ala's side. And they would speak as it comes into them. You have four mahfuz in front of them and they speak and it comes. If they can't stop there. Yeah, they can't interrupt the thing. For them it's okay. Not for our people like us, because you lose nothing, the thing close the kitab. Why? And you teach the students. For that you say, you go anywhere there at the time. You see, we can learn teaching. You see how the, while Azan is going, all the students behave. No, you know, other people, Azan, Allah Ta'ala is calling you. No other, they're laughing, joking, cracking, joking, doing whatever they were trying to do. Okay. So, first, practically, the sunnah, which is a wajib sunnah, when you say sunnah, you get certain acts of sunnah are farad, certain acts of sunnah are wajib, certain acts of sunnah are sunnah, waqt, etc., etc. So, when you say sunnah doesn't mean something which is not farad. So this is the act of Ibadah, the thing of listening and responding to the Azan. It is so, it's something of vital importance, so much that I think, if I'm not mistaken, Imam Nawawi or maybe some other faqih said that those who indulge in worldly conversation at the time of the Azan, if that happens, then the fear of Surah Khatima. The Imam also is in danger. May dua for me, Allah Ta'ala keep us safe on the path of Imam, right? No one saw the guarantee, but really, what is the matter?